You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. This is the Monday show. We're coming to you from Culver City.
Woo-woo!
What's up, Culver City? We are the Raining Jays here in the wonderful Four Points West Side.
This is how I lose my Starwood preferred guest status.
This is it.
Just John bellowing.
I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam.
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam.
There was no heart in that.
Oh, because I don't know how aware Tom is of this weird intro.
Come on, man. Joined... doing his best impression of the kid who couldn't make it out here, Tom Westerholm. Come on, bro.
That was more Tatum than Jay. I apologize.
Tom Westerholm's my partner on the beat at Mass Live. So we're coming to you after the Celtics beat the Lakers 120-107. We'll talk about that. Talk about moving forward, the Clippers game, and whatever the hell else we'll talk about. So, Tom, you're our guest. What was your takeaway from the Lakers game? Was there any particular one?
I mean, honestly, I think the biggest takeaway was just that it was kind of dull. Like, it was kind of a boring game. And, like, that, you know, I think it matters that the Celtics can win boring games again. Like, they kind of kept, you know, plugging away, just kept, like, punching back whenever the Lakers punched them. And, you know, LeBron kind of took the Lakers on a big run in the third quarter. And the Celtics were like, all right, cool, here's Kyrie. And Kyrie, kind of do your thing. And then Kyrie did his thing. And all of a sudden, it's back up to a, you know, a 16-point game at this, you know, in the fourth quarter. And, you know, that was just kind of it. Like, it really wasn't a very eventful game. And I think that that's probably beneficial for the Celtics, that every once in a while, they can just pull out a game that doesn't require, you know, that doesn't require like a ton of drama. It doesn't require the Gordon Hayward buzzer beater. It doesn't require a 30-point win against the Warriors. It's just a nice win against a kind of mediocre team.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the value in that. I think when one of the things that I was writing about afterwards was, if this was any other circumstance, we might sit there and be like, well, you know, ha ha ha, an LA nightlife undefeated. They came out in the first half and they looked like crap. I think because of their circumstance, because of the way the post All-Star break has gone, the emphasis on each game is just heightened, and the way that they came out was problematic. It wouldn't be problematic. I think you make a great point. Like, this is the type of game a good team should be able to win against a crappy Lakers team. But I think that the way they came out was problematic for the team, problematic for Brad Stevens, that all of the focus has been playing the right way, that they felt that they needed to play the right way, so much that to do that the third game into this kind of reclamation, this whatever redemption, I personally, I don't like it. I don't like the way they came out. It's also, though, good that they broke out of that. The second half, they were better. They answered all of the runs. They did everything they were supposed to do. So I don't want to make it like it's a big deal, but it's also, to me, problematic the way that first half went.
Isn't the second, like, the responding to the playing poorly more important, though? Because, like, they're not going to come out great for every single game. Like, there's going to be stretches where they're bad. And we've seen earlier in the season where, like, I don't know, against the Bulls game, it's like, oh, they really... they lost this big lead, and now they're down 20, like, and they had no ability to respond, or even in that Raptors game. It helped that they never got down 20 because the Lakers are such trash, but like, they responded to that and were able to kind of come together and not put together 48 minutes of crap. And this team is plenty capable of just like selling out and just get, like, giving up for an entire performance. And so I agree with you that you would ideally like to see them kind of play well from the jump, and like, they have all this good momentum, but the ability to respond to that, I think, it is more important than just the fact that they came out flat, because I think any team can come out flat any night, and the good teams will eventually say, all right, let's check it into gear. The past 60 games, we've seen a number of times where the Celtics have come out flat and stayed flat for the entire time.
I agree. I agree that the ability to come back from coming out flat is important, definitely. It's this particular circumstance, this one instance, I think this game felt a little bit different than other games that might fall under that same category. I feel like because the emphasis has been on, we need to show ourselves that we can play better, that we can play connected all the time, that we're not in a we're too good mode. Like, I think the problem for the Celtics, part of it anyway, has been when they have this level of success. I said on this podcast a million times, they don't handle the good times very well. That when they come out and beat the Warriors by 30, and then they gut out a win against the Kings, like, all of a sudden everybody's like, hey, maybe they're back. This is great. You get 2 days of being filleted in the media and coming out in this Lakers game, there was a tendency, I thought, and how many times have I called that a dangerous game? Because I thought they would say, well, we're back, the Lakers suck. And then you add no Ingram, no Kuzma, no Ball, like, starting guys like I've never heard of, or playing guys I've never heard of.
J-Dub.
Yeah, right? So
I forget his actual name, but the guy from
Gonzaga. Jonathan Williams.
Yeah, J-Dub. He got 12 points. He was amazing.
I wanted, and this is, again, my own expectations, I wanted them to show that we are still connected, that despite the circumstance, we're going to come out and we're going to play. You had 2 days off.
But didn't they ultimately do that? Like, I feel like you're very much nitpicking, like, a slow shooting first quarter. Like, they went on runs in the second quarter. They had a weird run in the third quarter where LeBron kind of put his head down and they missed, like, some open threes. And people on Twitter were furious that Brad didn't call a timeout, but it's like they just missed some open threes. And then, like, in the second half, they just kept on extending the lead out.
Sure.
Like, they came together. It feels like you're, like, any team can have a bad – I understand that, like, they weren't – the offense wasn't amazing, and they settled for, like, the stereotypical bad shots. Bad shots and, like, the in the first quarter. But the ability to, within that one game, to come up and, like, then change, mold into that team that is together – I feels like is the important thing, not the fact that they were flat at all.
I think that, I think that's important too. I think that it's like each game individually is going to have good moments and bad moments. And in this game, the bad moments, like, it doesn't matter. Like, any team is going to have good moments and bad moments. It doesn't matter. Like, Warriors have good moments and bad moments, like, within a game, or obviously they've had more bad moments recently. But
I mean, they just lost to the Suns.
They're probably a bad example. The Bucks, they have good moments and bad moments. But, like, in this game, the bad moments just kind of came.
Bucks just lost to the Spurs.
All NBA teams suck, is what I'm trying to say. We're all going to die. I feel like all the bad moments in this game just came at the start of it. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay.
And they still won the first quarter. They're still up.
The first quarter, yeah.
No, right.
And I would just say, like, you know, at the end of the second quarter, they're up 10. At the end of the third quarter. In the third quarter, LeBron was briefly LeBron for a bit. Like, that was when he put
his head down and was terrified.
He was nasty for quite some time, and then they overcame that. So to me, it's like, you know, this team has so much talent and they're so deep, and I can understand the case for wanting them to be great for like 48 straight minutes because they've got enough talent to do that, but that's just like not really feasible in an NBA game.
Especially this Celtics team where we've expected them to be great for the entire season.
And so we've expected them to put 48 minutes together and they haven't like been able to put like two
games. I think the fact
together,
that they put a final 24 minutes together is something we should be rejoicing.
So, okay, so part of this is me like trying to argue my point. So I sound like I'm really, really concerned with it. My level of argument is exaggerating my actual level of concern over this.
Are you putting on airs just for some sort of entertainment value?
No. What I'm saying is I really want to win this argument.
In sports media?
Stephen A. Corrales over here.
I stubbornly want to win this argument and make my point. I don't disagree. I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying. It's
bad
just,
start for the Stephen A.
It's just I can't do Stephen A. I was about to launch into a bad impression, and I nixed that. I just for this game, for this particular team, in this particular instance, I think the bad start was a problem, and I actually asked Brad Stevens about that. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk about what Brad Stevens said and continue this 2-on-1 because I interpreted what Brad Stevens said a little bit differently. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. First, if you're listening in your car, remember you can ask your smart device. If you've got one of those fancy new cars, you can ask your personal assistant in the car, trigger it, wake it up, whatever, and say play podcast. Locked On Celtics. So if you forget to download it or whatever, just wake your device up, say play podcast Locked On Celtics. It will do so as you're driving, so you don't have to pick up your phone. So do that, and we'll be right back here in the Locked On Celtics podcast. After the game in the scrum, I asked Brad Stevens about the slow start, and he said basically the same thing you guys were saying, that, yeah, I didn't like the way we started or something like that, and but I liked the way we responded, and we came back and we made some runs. And I asked, is it a concern for you that they didn't come out the way you had hoped or something along those lines? And he paused for a couple of seconds, and he said, yeah, and we'll see if we're able to come out well on Monday. I take that as there's a little bit of a concern from Brad Stevens. Now, when you pause for 2 seconds as a coach in a scrum, you're thinking. He's trying to think of how his answer is going to be. So I think he thought that through, and instead of answering with coach speak, when I asked if he was concerned, he said, yeah, there is a concern. So I take that as I didn't like the way they started. I didn't like the way they responded after all of the stuff we've been through. I was hoping for a better start. And he is now hoping that Monday, tonight, as you're listening to this podcast, that the team comes out better. They respond better. And of course, the Clippers are a better team. They've got a lot better players. They're essentially at full strength, I believe. And if they come out the way they did against the Lakers, they're going to fall behind. But I took it as there is some concern from Brad Stevens that if we come out again on Monday, that we're going to fall behind, and it's going to sort of erase a lot of the progress that we made.
I agree that I think you would like them to play better against the Clippers than they did against the Lakers, at least to start. But I don't know. I don't remember the exact intonation in Brad's pause, but you are the Brad Whisperer now. You're having one-on-ones. He's calling you out, saying, great question, talking about your playing career. So I don't know. Tom, during the scrums, I stand in the back. I was talking to Bontemps. Like, I don't really wasn't paying a lot of attention, and then I left. You were in the same scrum. What did you think of the great pause?
The great pause.
I personally didn't take it as much. I thought that Brad was basically like, I mean, Brad is always going to jump at the opportunity to express concern about something.
To say like, yes, yeah, we do need to improve.
Exactly.
Almost like incrementally every day.
Exactly. Like, Brad is all about improving. And I mean, I think that if you give Brad an opportunity to say like, here's a thing that we can work on, I think he's going to say yes, like, because Brad always wants to improve everything. I'm with Sam here, honestly. I think he wants to see them get better. I think that, of course, he would like to see them come out a little bit stronger. And I do think it is important that they come out stronger against the Clippers.
How important do you think, not just starting getting a good start, but how important do you think the Clippers game is? Because I think if they, I don't know, they've had trouble with expectations all year, but they've won 3 in a row. The Clippers are a pretty solid team. They're playing good basketball right now. I could see the Celtics like an ultimate trap game right here. And we talked about it earlier today, but they're in a legit competition for the three seed today, especially after the Sixers beat the Pacers. It's one game back of both those teams. They can't afford to lose any games that they should win. And so I think the Clippers game is actually pretty important. And so getting out to a good start is definitely strong. But I'm just curious, like, how they've already gone. Like, if before the road trip, we said if they go 3-1, that's a good road trip. But now it feels like they should win this Clippers game.
My concern at this point, seriously, for the last 15 games, it really is. I know we joke about process over results, but
we don't joke about that.
I know it's a very, very serious thing. It's but I am very much in a process over results mode because I think the process will generate the good results. So if they come out and they play well against the Clippers and they happen to lose, maybe they take good shots and they don't fall. Like, I'm not going to worry about that as much. If they play well and the Clippers just play better or more shots fall or whatever, then I'm okay. I'm okay with whatever happens. So I'm not going to put a lot of emphasis on that. My main focus for the Celtics and the Clippers is, can they come out and play well, and can they continue to play well throughout the game, and then whatever happens, happens.
I think that's fair. I think, you know, I also think it's fair to say that, like, they should win this game. Like,
sure.
And if they lose it, I mean, obviously it's the end of a road trip like that. You know, there's extenuating
circumstances. If they lose it, immediately me, biased Celtics fans, go, oh, well, they went 3-1 on the road trip. And it's
sure.
Like, it's completely fine. But they should
win this game. Like, they have enough talent to win this game, and you would like to see, if you are the Celtics, like, this, like, if the talent is really coalescing the way that you're hoping it's coalescing, and you're hoping that, you know, the starting lineup can lead into this strong second unit, can lead back into that starting
lineup.
There's
enough joy around Kyrie Irving and everyone's happy.
These vibes are good enough.
Yeah.
Like, this team,
if it's
should
really
win,
the soul playing Celtics, they should beat this team.
Yeah. So I think it's reasonable to say, like, I mean, at this point, obviously a 3-1 road trip is not a failure. Like, this win does not, this game does not, like, make or break the road
trip.
But
now they're battling for the three seed. And we talk, like, what do you think their chances are right now, recording on, what is this? We're March 10th.
March 11th.
It's
the March 11th show. We're recording on March 10th.
Greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th. That's one side thing. But what are their chances right now to get that three seed? They're one game back of both Sixers and Indiana. They play Indiana twice. They play the Sixers once. The Pacers have a real tough schedule coming up. And that's it's a big difference
in the NBA.
I think the Celtics will end up as the third seed. I you can put a chance on it. I like a 60% chance or something like that. I think the chances are better than not that they'll end up the third seed. I like their odds because
the odds also like their odds, by the way.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I say that mostly because they play the Pacers twice and they have the ability to beat the Pacers twice and make up a lot more ground against them than they normally would. And because they have the tiebreaker against the Sixers, I mean, they're really in an advantageous position to get that third seed.
Well, and with those two games against the Pacers, we just saw today in that Sixers-Pacers game, you know, the Pacers don't have that guy who can kind of punch you back.
Right.
So if you can get them down a little bit, I mean, they're a tough, defensive, gritty team, but they just don't have that guy who can, like, if you get up by 10, it's just hard for them to get 10 points sometimes because, you know, they don't have any the Oladipo anymore.
There
and
was
that's
a real stretch today where they did not score for
3
like
for 20
6
in the
minutes.
Third quarter.
Yeah. It was rough. I agree. I think they have a good chance, and I think it's important because avoiding that 4-5 matchup and just playing a team like the Pistons in the first round is huge for anyone. If the Celtics are going to have a chance, there's part of me that thinks, like, oh, maybe you want to get the 4 or 5 seed because you're a better matchup against the Bucks, but they can't think about that. Like, they just need to think about winning their first round matchup.
I like how the Celtics match up moving forward anyway. Like, you can, there's positives and negatives with facing anybody beyond the first round. Like, you can make your case about how you match up against Toronto. They're obviously going to be very tough. Milwaukee's obviously going to be very tough. It's just going to be tough. And we just got to focus on getting through the first round at this point. But I think it would be great for their own kind of just team ego to get through a first round feeling good about themselves against a good matchup. Like, I like the matchup if they face Detroit. I think the Celtics, especially if Baines is fully healthy and can play 25 minutes and you don't have to rely on Tice or anything. I think there's an opportunity there for them to finish that series in five or six games and then
Sparks joy. That's as good as a soul plane. It's exactly. Really crazy to me, like all the stories coming out of this is just like how much of their experience is just, oh, Kyrie's in a good mood. It's like, and it's just like this. Oh, like Terry came out on Celtics post up and was like, yeah, when we play a lot better when Kyrie's feeling good. Kyrie even said, I think after the game last night, it was just like, people play better when I'm in a good mood. What did Brad's the best therapist in all of Boston. I don't know what he said at the start of that flight, but it's just like Kyrie came out and was just like, yeah, let's play cards. Let's do some karaoke. Let's sing. It's like, what did Brad say to this man?
I really enjoyed the mental image of like, because somebody, I don't remember which player, I don't remember which reporter had it, but somebody said that Kyrie was like, was just singing and everybody was listening to Kyrie sing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what was everybody just gathered around?
Just one of those like little like karaoke just boxes.
Like Kyrie.
They're singing Donka Shane.
It wasn't even karaoke. It was just him doing acapella.
And everybody's just quietly, just silent, just quietly sitting there with their legs crossed. Like,
no, I want like that Ferris Bueller scene of him like at the front, like singing Donka Shane in front of everybody. Like, that'd be hilarious. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up our conversation about the Soul Plane Celtics and whatever else we want to talk about. Stick around here in the Locked On Celtics podcast. Final segment, and if it stops in the middle of it, we're on a low battery on this recorder, so this might end abruptly. But quick final thoughts on the Soul Plane Celtics. I think it's that story.
First
is
off,
like,
shout out to Weird Celtics Twitter for recruiting Bootsy Collins and George Clinton. That's also combined with the Soul Plane. There's a reason that plane had so much soul.
Yeah.
It's because those two warriors of funk came together.
Oh my god! That's
and
hilarious.
Now I'm just seeing the Jack Michael has recruited Rian Johnson, the director of the Star Wars movie. I don't really know who he is, but I just see Jack Michael tweeting about it a lot. Yeah. Apparently, he's a Celtics fan now. Celtics Twitter. Oh, here's a junk thing that I just started to remember. At. You know, there's another Celtics Twitter.
I was
apparently.
Gonna, Yeah.
So it's for the.
I was going to give out. We were just talking about tacos. I was going to give out a taco with that. Yeah. Okay. Continue.
Okay. So it's like, apparently, for the people out there, there's like there. Everyone who listens to the Rain Jays know there's a weird Celtics Twitter. Shout out to the Riffs man. Praise be. And there's also people out there just creating the memes and the weirdness, and it's fun. But apparently there's just a normie Twitter.
Yeah.
So this all started where there's a poll. So it's like, who runs Celtics Twitter? And it was like a poll of people I had never heard of before.
Right.
And they have at least followers in the thousands, and they have discussions all day, and they talk about people taking L's and people getting W's, and it was just
they
not
talk about the season with a Z.
Yeah, they're big season
big
folks,
season guys.
But it's just like I didn't know they existed.
I
it really shows you how much of a bubble we are all in.
Sure,
this is like
there are many, many millions of Celtics fans out there.
It turns out,
apparently.
You're not a Celtics fan unless you listen to me.
Right, exactly. We are very lucky to have many thousands of people who follow us on Twitter, but that is nowhere near in comparison to the many millions of Celtics fans out there. So there may be a world beyond our horizon, but
it feels weird to say it, though.
here's the thing about, like, there was, like, legitimate fighting over
Big Mac.
who really runs Celtics Twitter. Like, if that's important to you, like, just give it up. Just delete your account. Like, that's...
Yeah, if you even think it's anyone other than the Riffs man, you're an idiot.
Say, it's important to me that everyone understands that it's the Riffs man.
Yeah. The cool thing about the Riffs man is the Riffs man does not want the power, and that's exactly why he runs Celtics Twitter.
Right.
Those best suited to power do not seek it.
He created Time Lord. Like, really, honestly, the Weird Celtics Twitter has been very much at the forefront. We should probably thank Max Letterman for that because he puts that at the forefront.
You know who gets a taco this week? Max Letterman, because His sister does stand-up at the Comedy Store, and he was able to get me two tickets last night, and so I got to go see some really hilarious comedians because of Max Letterman, and we're going to have him on the podcast to pay him back, because he gets the first taco of the week.
You can have him on the podcast because he gave you tickets. I do. I didn't get any tickets.
Well, did you slide into his DMs asking him for tickets?
No, I did not. I did
well,
not.
There you go.
I did not know that he was the connect for the tickets.
Well, his sister is a very, very funny comedian, and she was one of the headliners at
the Comedy
Store.
You and KOC went out there, and
yeah, I just didn't want to drop Kevin O'Connor's name. But I was also with Kevin O'Connor.
Drop Kevin O'Connor's name here. Why not? And you got to see Ron. I like Ron Funches a lot.
Ron Funches, Neil Brennan, who co-created the Chappelle Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny people
nice.
There.
Nice night. Not that I probably couldn't have gone because I was.
No, I had to leave like immediately after the game. You guys were all doing work. That's one of the benefits of me not having a job actually covering the team.
I actually had to do work. So, all right. So I guess we can just move into our tacos.
First tacos, just to be clear, are the Riffsman and Max Letterman.
Yes. Yeah. Tacos go out to them. Tom, would you like to hand out a taco since you're a guest here? This is your second podcast of the road trip.
Yeah. Yeah. So taco to me.
Taco to you.
Can I?
I had disappointing tacos today.
Ooh, LA. That's too bad. You want to come to LA and get the good Mexican food.
Yeah. Well, it's my own fault because we hit up this bar at Santa Monica Pier just to try to get we wanted to watch the Pacers.
Did you get fish tacos?
Mahi tacos, yeah. So that's fish.
That is fish.
That is fish.
Mahi is a fish.
But
taco to mahi for being a fish.
I want to specify I didn't say fish tacos because there were also fish tacos on the menu that were fried fish tacos, and I got the grilled
mahi. All that's going
tacos.
Through my head right now is there's a line in I Love You Man where he just says, "Have you tried the fish tacos? They're the tits." And that's just all I can think about right now, so I'm sorry.
I've actually been trying to get us to that exact fish taco place in California, and we just haven't gone yet.
Why haven't we gone yet?
I tried, and it's a long story. It doesn't matter.
There's a long hours and hours between shoot around and the game tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's true.
There's ample opportunity tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, but let's get to the real business.
Actual tacos.
Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving gets a taco, for sure.
For having joy, just for being happy. He didn't even play in one of the games, but just for being happy and just rubbing Yabu on the back of his head and just making sure that everyone else feels comfortable playing basketball.
That was fun.
Yeah, I think he deserves a taco. He's gotten a taco every single week just because he's been...
For the most part. Except for last week when he was just...
It's kind of a surly
very
jerk.
Very unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not but, happy guy.
The ESPN flashed the graphic of his stats this year, and it's field goal percentage, threes per game, rebounds, points, and it's first. It's his best season he's ever had except for points per game. It's this guy's doing pretty well.
He's doing okay.
Yeah.
He's doing okay.
I want to give a taco to Robert Williams and Yabu for driving around L.A. in a convertible. Seeing those two doing that and having their joy brought me joy. And also I enjoyed them. I enjoy those two interacting. They're just two very, very, very unique personalities. And I would like to hear them on a podcast. So if you could get Raining Jays with Yabu and Rob Williams, I would love
that. I'm going to put in a request for that and see how that
good.
Goes.
Good. I think there's a non-zero chance that Yabu and Rob Williams agree to do a podcast.
That would be amazing. Together, like this.
Yeah.
Just to have everybody leaves the room. They just have to hold mics and talk for half an hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just we're going to go and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they don't want to talk to us.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
We would make it weird. I'm going to give a taco to Al Horford just... because he's very, very stable and consistent, but mostly for his performance in that Kings game where he was just phenomenal. Also, his performance against the Lakers where it's just give him the basketball and let him do things well. He's amazing. He's a good father. He's a good man. But
his wonderful eyes.
He has wonderful eyes. He's great skin. But I think he deserves a taco just because he's coming out. He came out today and talked to Mark Murphy from the Boston Herald and said he thinks it's the best basketball he's played this season and as a Celtic. And I can't really disagree with him. He's been amazing. Maybe for stretches when he was really him and Isaiah had it going, but he's been phenomenal.
I would say that the best basketball he played was probably last year during the playoffs when he was just handing Philadelphia their own heads on a platter.
Well, it's kind of unfair when you get to play Philadelphia.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It's unfair. I loved, like, Al Horford. In the first quarter, they went to Al Horford. Like, when things were going well, every time they gave the ball to Al Horford, like, something positive happened. And they kind of got away from that. So, it, like, shouts to Al Horford for making positive things happen. Taco goes out to Gordon Hayward for finding his game back on this road trip, shitting all over the Warriors and kind of getting revenge. Did he say anything about it? Because no one asked him about the anonymous.
No, the guy asked Jalen instead, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think there's probably something there. He had a not great shooting performance against the Kings, but did a lot of other things.
He was
6-for-10.
This is
no,
that's
true.
Like,
no, but from three.
He said, from three. He said this. Brad said this. But like, he was like, they were both like, yeah, like, you know, I didn't have a very good night. It was like, dude, you were 6-for-10.
That's true. What are you talking about?
He's mastered the move of driving into the paint, stopping, turning around, and jump back fadeaway. He's like, it's his most consistent shot. And it's like, if he's not going to explode to the rim, which he still has yet to do, but he's driving to the paint now.
Yeah.
And that's positive for Gordon Hayward. And anytime you hit a game winning shot, you get a taco.
And he had a great game against the Lakers as well. So taco for him. Who else?
Anyone else?
Jalen Brown? Can I give a self promo taco?
Oh,
yes.
Taco to Shemi Ojeleye and assistant coach Scott Morrison, because they were both great when I was trying to do a Shemi Ojeleye story this week.
Shemi Ojeleye story that I think should have been published already, but will be published on Monday morning. So,
correct.
Mass Live, go check it out. Shemi Ojeleye.
I apologize for that.
By the time you hear this, Tom Westerholm's story may be published, but if it's not, it will be shortly. So, yeah, shouts to that.
Any other tacos? I don't think Tatum
Jaylen
gets
Brown?
One. Jaylen Brown's been consistently good, but I don't know if he's been taco good.
Okay.
I don't know. If at this point we've been thrown out. This is probably the most tacos we've thrown out.
Well, without Jay King here being stingy with the tacos,
yeah, that
Jay
guy
King
hates giving out tacos.
Like, he does not like handing out tacos. So, you know, this
that's
is good.
About it,
I
though.
Like this. Yeah, Corrales Packard and Jay King. Locked on Celtics.